The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we'll be talking with Jennifer Nelson from the Mayo Clinic about the new book that just came out entitled The Mayo Clinic Diet, Eat Well, Enjoy Life, and Lose Weight. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to Scripture to give us perspective on every discussion, focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. In the news this week are two fascinating articles on sleep, one in teens and one in seniors. Let's take a look at both. In the teens, it turns out that lack of sleep can actually lead to, you'll never believe this, diabetes, of all things. Getting more sleep may actually help reduce teens' future risk of developing diabetes, according to a new study that just came out. That has to do with insulin resistance. Determined by a blood test, and it doesn't matter, regardless of race, age, gender, waist size, or body mass index, it's sleep. That's what we need. Most teens actually need just over 9 hours of sleep each night. In this study, they averaged about 6.4 hours of sleep, but that number was significantly less on school days than on the weekend. While this is just a very small study, not really a cause and effect just yet, it certainly is a trend worth pursuing. And this is in Sleep, November of 2012. And then when we turn to seniors, it turns out that lighter sleep, not the amount of sleep, but the quality of sleep, lighter as we get older, may actually dull our memory skills as we age. Lighter sleep often accompanies aging, and this is a study out of the University of California at Berkeley, where researchers said that older adults scored 55% less on memory testing after sleeping. And it turns out that it's not just important to sleep before we learn, but we have to sleep after we learn too. Isn't this something? To consolidate new memories and make longer-term memories. I think that's really neat. Researchers believe that older people aren't remembering as much because their sleep isn't as deep. And you know what? We understand that that happens as we age for many reasons. Aches, pains, having to go to the bathroom, all of these things can affect memory. So trying to sleep better, more soundly and deeper is the goal. We can do that with deep breathing. We can do that with cooling the room because the temperature helps our body and its natural melatonin levels rise and hopefully empty our bladders sooner than later and take diuretics if you're on that for blood pressure, heart disease, and the like earlier in the day, not at bedtime. Just a few tips for better sleep. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Jennifer Nelson is from St. Paul, Minnesota, a native and a graduate of the University of Minnesota. Jennifer, we have that in common. You didn't know. And she actually did her internship at the U.S. Air Force in Washington, D.C. She's a registered dietitian. She's been with Mayo since 1978. She's also the director of clinical dietetics and an associate professor of nutrition at the College of Medicine at the Mayo Clinic. She is the co-author of the New York Times best-selling book, The Mayo Clinic Diet. Welcome, Jennifer, to Your Holistic Health.
Kathy?
All right. Well, you know, attempting to lose weight is covered in this book, and that's a health task that is daunting. But for most of us, I must say, something that we all must face at some point in our lives. Tell me, do these diets always have to be painful, sacrificial, or boring, like eating wallpaper, or in short, just no fun? Is there any hope that we can still have joy in our life while we're dieting?
Oh, gosh. That's a very interesting question that you're asking. And I think a lot of it has to do with what we put into it is what we will get out of it. If we go into it joyfully, it will be a joyful experience. If we approach it with trepidation, we're going to be probably struggling a bit more with it. I kind of choose to be on the more joyful side of things, because one of the funnest things to do and the best thing that you can do for health and the tastiest thing you can do for health is eat healthy foods. And you know, if you are, you know, filling yourself with healthy foods, chances are you're going to have, you know, more joy, you're going to have more success at weight management, and it won't seem like the wallpaper diet.
Yeah, I kind of made that up just in case you didn't figure that out. Well, you know, I would add to that, how about dieting with purpose? And as a Christian, I'm going to take it one step further, and here we have in 1 Corinthians 10:31. So, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So dieting is really a gift to our temple and to the glory of God. It's something that is accountable, it's disciplined, and it's healthy. And I love the fact that we've got you on the show, because this is about mind, body, spirit. We tend not to talk enough about nutrition, and I'm thrilled that we have your expertise in this lovely book to get some more details on some of these topics, including dieting. So let's focus now on something that you've written a lot about in your blog, and that's the snack attack. The clever little trooper that comes in the thief of the night or the afternoon. What are some fun strategies on dealing with that attack whenever it comes?
Sure. I find, and my patients also find, that if they reach first for veggies or fruits, that, you know, they're more successful at kind of controlling their urges. You know, veggies and fruits are really low in calories, and they're filling, okay? And so you're not going to be overeating or getting in excess calories when you are snacking, and you're also filling up with foods that have a lot of health qualities to them. A second strategy is, think portion control. Portion out snacks into smaller containers. You know, think of a yogurt container size. You know, you could fill it up with washed veggies or sections of fruit or cottage cheese or bits of chicken or tuna or a whole grain salad. And, you know, that way you're not reaching for the bag or box of chips. Instead, you're going to be grabbing something that is in a small portion that's going to be satisfying, and you're not going to have to work too hard at making it.
And you know, a lot of research now shows that we eat, if we're stressing and we eat as a stressed person, we're going to grab those chips, we're going to grab those carbs. Potatoes, I mean, we're cooked, no pun intended. It's so predictable, and yet I've watched myself with my arm reached out saying those very words, I know this is happening, and I still did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah. If it takes a little work, but if you, I love your idea. I call it the desk drawer snacking for the office. I purposefully load up a drawer with foods that if I've got that urge, stressed urge, mm-hmm. I can't get to those chips across the hall. I can get to the drawer next to me and pull out some carrots, some celery, some pumpkin seeds. It's
sure.
My latest favorite, although they're loaded with salt. Some of them are.
Yeah.
Nuts, you know.
Sure.
Things that are, you know, healthy. and filling. I like the little cuties, the little orange, what do they call those? They're not oranges, are they?
Little mandarin oranges.
Yes, those are
little cuties,
easy
yeah.
to eat. Mm-hmm. I love those as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Another thing that you can do if you find that you're reaching into that snack drawer more than you should is when you feel the urge to eat, get up and take a brisk walk. You know, your chances are by the time you get back, the urge will have passed and you've burned a few calories.
That's a great idea, too. The stairs is another great idea if you're going from one floor to the next,
mm-hmm.
if you're able. Now, focusing still on the snacks, but also in healthy protein, I want to call out sort of a positive emphasis on seeds and nuts once again, because those are not talked about as frequently as I would like. Give us some thoughts on that.
Well, you're right. You know, nuts and seeds have kind of gotten a bad rap because of a number of different things. First of all, you know, they are high in calories, and, you know, the tendency to not be able to push away from the bowl of nuts, you know, is a hard thing to sometimes, you know, deal with. However, though, again, you get back to that, you know, if you eat a good portion size of it, in other words, maybe about a third of a cup, which is about an ounce and a half of nuts, you're going to be getting a reasonable number of calories. It's going to turn down that appetite a little bit, you know, so you aren't going to be as hungry. You're going to have a lot of good fats in the nuts, mostly unsaturated, that helps lower cholesterol, as well as some omega-3 fats, fiber, vitamin E, and a lot of good plant compounds that generally contribute to good health.
All right, so we're looking at such things as walnuts, almonds, pistachios. What else comes to mind that are excellent nuts?
Oh, gosh.
Hazelnuts.
Pecans. And, you know, most of the research has been done with walnuts as well as with, well, including peanuts, too. You know, they do have those beneficial fats that seem to be related to heart health. And they're also a good source of protein. And protein kind of carries you through between meals. It kind of sticks with you longer, so you're going to feel fuller and not as kind of empty.
And on the seed side, we talked about pumpkin seeds. How about sunflower seeds and some more examples?
Pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds. Gosh, you know, chia seeds are starting to kind of, you know, come into vogue too. And, you know, so, you know, it just takes a few, just a sprinkling, you know, that you can derive the health benefits from those.
Won't grass come out of your head if you start eating too many chia seeds?
I don't know.
Those little sweet little faces in the grocery store. Is that not right? I'm teasing. I'm teasing listeners. They don't know my sense of humor just yet. Okay, so nuts and seeds are a great source of protein, vitamins, fiber, and other fabulous things, including antioxidants.
Yes.
All right, we're off to a good start here. We've started to talk about dieting as a joyous experience. We've talked about snacking in a healthy fashion and sort of being accountable for portion control. We've talked about seeds and nuts being a great example of some type of snack and the health benefits from that. I want to turn the table now to, though, something that's a really serious problem in this country, and that's obesity. And of course, I couldn't have a dietitian on the show without addressing this epidemic, which I think it is, all over the country. You know, it's grown over a very short period of time, which might be a surprise to many of our listeners. People will speculate that it's only been over the last 25 years in the history of America that we've had this growth spurt of obesity and overweight concerns. How do you feel about this? And is it something that you saw coming? What should we do?
Yeah. Gosh, I think that, you know, I'm a baby boomer, and just, you know, taking a look at not only the individuals, you know, in the baby boom generation, but looking at our children and our grandchildren and seeing their girth increase is shocking. I don't know that we really saw it coming. And I definitely believe that that it's a serious epidemic that we need to do something about. More than one-third of adults are considered to be overweight and obese. And that, you know, that in and of itself is concerning, because as you get older, the diseases that are associated with obesity, such as heart disease and diabetes and high blood pressure and stroke and, you know, osteoarthritis and cancer and all of these chronic diseases, you know, are just going to be worsened because of our weight and the risk for them. And so, you know, it's a huge problem, no pun intended. And it's going to take a national and even an international effort to address, much like any of the other infectious diseases of bygone days. It took national and international efforts to address.
I agree with that. And I also think that we have an opportunity to just put a call to action out. And that first call, most important call, is get active. If nothing else, if it's not changing your diet or your nutrition right now, just start moving. Walk for 10 minutes. Walk to the mailbox. Walk around the table in the dining room. But get moving and stay moving for so many more reasons than just weight control.
Exactly. And it starts as a personal responsibility. You know, I talked about, you know, national and international efforts, but it starts with yourself. The power of one.
Absolutely.
And it could mean, exactly as you said, getting up and moving or pushing away from the table, you know. And also, it gets back to kind of the body, mind, and spirit that you mentioned earlier. We need to care for ourselves and take care of ourselves. And that can sometimes, you know, be difficult to admit. You know,
amen.
That we haven't been kind to our bodies.
Amen. If you're just joining our show, this is Your Holistic Health. Tonight we're talking with Jennifer Nelson, dietitian extraordinaire from the Mayo Clinic, about her book that she co-authored. It's called The Mayo Clinic Diet. Eat well, enjoy life, lose weight. We'll take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and tonight we're talking with Jennifer Nelson from the Mayo Clinic about her book entitled The Mayo Clinic Diet. Well, Jennifer, now let's turn to another type of food stuff called grains, and I want to talk about good grains because I think they're getting a bad rap too. I hear a lot these days about whole grains and about actually something that's a seed, I guess, called quinoa.
Yes.
Which is gaining popularity. Tell us a little bit about those, please.
Let's first kind of put grains into perspective. I think that over the last at least five years or so, people have gotten mixed messages about grains in general, and that's because they associate grains with carbohydrates, in general. But one of the things that's important to recognize is that whole grains are particularly good for you. Whole grains include all of the parts of a grain, the bran, the germ, and the endosperm. And each one of those components or parts of the grain are important for our health. They provide fiber, they provide minerals, they provide phytocompounds or plant compounds that have been found to be antioxidants and heart protective and healing to the body. And, you know, the latest issue of the Dietary Guidelines for Americans found that, you know, we are not meeting the recommended numbers of servings for whole grains in a day. The average American eats less than one serving, and the 2010 Dietary Guidelines recommend three or more servings a day. And so we're kind of doing miserably at getting in whole grains. Quinoa is more of a pseudo-grain, it's called, and it's something that I have found to be just really delightful. There's so many ways that it can be used. You can, you know, eat it as a porridge or a hot or cooked cereal in the morning. You can turn it into a salad, a grain-based salad with, you know, all kinds of, you know, good veggies sort of mixed into it. You can serve it as a hot side dish instead of potatoes at supper. And it's an excellent source of folic acid, which, you know, helps with healthy blood cells and all kinds of other good things.
I must say, I have prepared a quinoa cold salad at least three times now to offer for dinners with friends. And people who had never spoken about it or even knew what it was or tasted it just simply raved. It's available as a dark, kind of a red seed, as well as a bland or blonde seed, both of which have a bit different texture and taste, but very high in protein and very good, if you will, carbohydrate substitute.
Yeah. And it's considered to be one of those ancient grains, you know. In other words, it was probably eaten, you know, more abundantly, or, you know, in those ancient societies. And I think there's something to these ancient grains that are, you know, kind of coming back around, you know, things like amaranth and teff and millet, and, you know, as well as quinoa. You know, they're adding more variety, and they're providing us with a different blend of nutrition, and they're just delightful.
Okay, you brought up teff. I read that in Prevention Magazine. I was going to go to the store and check it out. What is teff?
Well, teff is a seed. You know, it is a grain, I guess I should say, another pseudo-grain. It's very small. It's kind of, how can I describe it? It's got a tougher texture. You can serve it like you would rice, but it's not as large as a rice kernel. It's just another one of those grains that you can explore and, you know, turn into side dishes or blend with other grains, add to soups. You know, it's a great way of getting in, you know, again, meeting that, you know, three servings a day of or more of whole grains.
And where would we find teff in a grocery store?
It really depends upon the grocery store. Some grocery stores will not, you know, have some of these grains. But, you know, if you look in maybe a co-op or
Whole Foods,
a specialty grocery store, a Whole Foods type grocery store, you know, ask your grocer, go online. You know, you can find some of these grains sneaking in even at restaurants as side dishes. So
excellent.
Keep your eyes open.
We will. All right. We're coming up on the closing moments of our show, Jennifer, and I would like to ask you a little bit about being a grandparent. Now, you might think that's coming out of left field, but you actually speak about this in the Mayo Clinic Diet. Should we, as grandparents, and I am one, be feeding our grandchildren if they don't agree with what they see? And that is, if mom and dad are feeding sweets, processed, packaged, how are we going to do that and keep peace in our families?
Oh, This is a very tricky question. And I blogged about it on mayoclinic.com, and you know, you get all kinds of responses, some very supportive, you know, and saying that you should speak up, and others saying, you know, it's not a grandparent's duty or role. I had a situation where I saw my grandchild picking up a food that she could potentially choke on. It was actually being served to her, you know, a grape, for example, and she was only 18 months old. And as a dietitian and nutritionist, you know, we talk about foods that could that children could potentially choke on, and that parents should avoid feeding them. Well, I nearly went crazy. I jumped across the table. I grabbed the grape out of her tiny little fingers. I overreacted. But I think as a grandparent, if we take our children aside and talk to them and come at it from a caring and feeling and a hopeful perspective versus a blaming, a shaming, crazy perspective like I did in that situation, I think we'll, you know, everybody wants the best for their children and their grandchildren, and I don't think anybody can argue with that.
To me, it's always been a project to introduce maybe just something fun once in a while, like a taste treat is what we used to call it at our house when our kids were growing up. And you had to try at least one taste, one bite of something healthy. And that's all that was required. And sometimes it worked and sometimes not. But, you know, again, it's a matter of what's available in the circle of influence in the kitchen that's right on top of the counter, or in the packed lunch that goes to the school, or in the vending machines. The selections are starting to change across the country. I think we're doing a good job, but grandparents have tremendous influence all through life, and certainly not the least of which can include nutrition.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right, very quickly, please, dear, where can our listeners go to purchase your book and learn more about your good work at Mayo?
Well, we have a wonderful website, www.mayoclinic.com, and you can click on health information, and you'll find our nutrition section that has a lot of wonderful articles and our blogs, as well as hundreds of recipes. And also on mayoclinic.com, you can click on the Mayo store, and there you can find a number of books, you know, including the Mayo Clinic Diet, the Mayo Clinic Diabetes Diet, several award-winning cookbooks, as well as just a wealth of health and wellness information, too.
All right, excellent. Jennifer Nelson from the Mayo Clinic talked about the Mayo Clinic Diet, Eat Well, Enjoy Life, Lose Weight, by the weight loss experts at the Mayo Clinic. I'd like to wrap up our show with the quote of the week, and this week it's from Thomas Jefferson, and I quote, "The happiest moments of my life have been the few which I have passed at home in the bosom of my family," end quote. Powerful words about relationships. Good to know. Thanks so much to our guest, Jennifer Nelson, once again from the Mayo Clinic, for being with us tonight. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. You're invited to join me in Worcester, Mass. on April the 3rd, Wednesday, from 3 to 6, where I will be with the UMass Medical School and attending the 5th annual UMass Complementary and Integrative Therapies and Lectures Expo. Hope to see you there. You're also invited to my website online at rxintegrativesolutions.com for a free library of articles on health without prescription medicines written just for you. Please tune in again next week at this very same time to hear Dr. Kathy Gruber talk about her book, The Alternative Medicine Cabinet, on the next edition of Your Holistic Health. You are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m., on Faith and Friends Radio for your holistic health.